Amen. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just love you. And we just thank you today, Lord, that we do have the freedom to be in the open and to say, here I am to worship the light of the world, Jesus Christ, my Savior. Lord, we proudly proclaim the only truth that's left in this old dark world, the truth of Jesus Christ, and that he is the only light that shines into the darkness. Father, I just pray that as we come in today in the service with all the things that are going on, all the darkness that, oh Lord, it tries to surround us. God, it tries to get us down. The devil wants us to think there's no hope left. But God, this morning, we sing about Jesus Christ. This morning, we put our hope in Jesus. We put our hope in eternal things, in the heavenlies this morning. And God, I just pray, Lord, I just pray that we would keep our focus there. And that we would keep our, else as a church and our families and our personal walk with you, Lord, that we would say Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And I'm going to stand on the foundation. I'm going to stand on the rock. And I'm not going to build my house in the sand where the storms of this life can tear it down. God, that's what we come this morning needing to hear. That's what we need to accept. That's what we need to stand on this morning. And so, God, before we go any further, I just pray that you would just give us that peace this morning. As we sing about, when there's storms of life, that you are the cornerstone. God, we got to believe it. We got to believe it this morning before we can make it real in our life. And so I just pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as you take your seats, let me get situated here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start Matthew 7 today, and I'm excited about finally finishing up with chapter 6. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm excited about the opportunity to preach today, because I can tell you, as the weeks go by, you know, the old darkness like we talked about and like I was praying about a few minutes ago, it just creeps in. And even sometimes me sitting down and studying and preparing a sermon, I get to the point where the old devil's beating up on me. And I'm like, I don't have time to do all this. I can't concentrate. But man, I'm telling you what. When you do and you sit down in the middle of the darkness, when you sit down in the middle of all the chaos and you just focus on the truth from God's word, it puts everything into perspective. Amen? So Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to go through the first 6 verses, and the title of the sermon today is Stop Criticizing Others. Stop criticizing others. So just to give you a little recap while you're finding that, last week we saw where Jesus was warning us about worry. He was telling us, he told us several times, he said, don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. He said, if you ever start worrying, just start, take a look around at nature and look at what God does. Look what God does for the birds. They don't have to store away food. They don't have to go to a grocery store. They wake up every morning and they sing the song that God gave them and they eat the food that God supplies for them. The lilies in the field, they don't have to go to work to buy their beautiful clothing that they wear. God created them just like that. He made them so detailed that they cannot be duplicated. And if God takes care of the birds like this, if God created the lilies so perfect, why would he not take care of us when we were made in his image? Jesus told us not to worry. We have to focus on our faith. We have to focus on the fact that we have a heavenly Father that does love us and we are his children and he supplies our needs, and we have to focus on his kingdom first. A lot of times we get beat down, and we get so beat down and we start worrying all these things, but most of the time it's because we're not seeking the kingdom of God first. We can't see past our own agenda or our own problems to say, what is God doing in the middle of all this? When we do that, we find it so much easier to defeat the worry in our lives. Well, today Jesus gives us another warning, but he's going to switch it up a little bit. And he's going to go, it's a little bit different than we've talked about in the last couple weeks of the warnings. Jesus is warning us here not to judge others, not to criticize others. And you know what? I love this about Jesus. He doesn't pull any punches either. He doesn't worry about offending you. He doesn't worry about upsetting us. Or maybe that's too much for us to preach today. He doesn't do that. He just says it right like it is. He says, do not judge others. So let's read Matthew chapter 7 and the first 6 verses. This is what it says. And remember, this is Jesus talking. He says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the same standard in which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again. And Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word, and we just pray that you would speak to us through that. Lord, I know I've said it probably 100 times, but the only perfect part of this message was what we just did, and we read your holy and perfect scriptures. Your living word, Lord, we just thank you for it. God, I just pray today that whatever angle it is, everybody here is at a different place. Everybody listening online is in a different place, or in a different place in their life. They're in a different place with their walk with you and what you're doing in their life and what you want to accomplish in their life. But God, I pray that you would speak to them this morning. Speak to them this morning that our hearts, that you would soften our hearts that we may receive not what I say, but what you want to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go right back to verse 1. We're going to jump right into it because I feel like this may be a little bit lengthy here. So just go ahead and get your little fan out. Start fanning yourself. It's going to be okay. We're going to be here for just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "Do not judge others, or you will be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the same standard in which you will be judged." Again, Jesus doesn't beat around the bush here. I got my hanky out today. He says it plain and simple. He says, do not judge. He doesn't say, don't judge when the person does this. He says simply, do not judge. And this word judge means to criticize or maybe to even condemn somebody. So often, this is our first response when we hear someone who is struggling in sin or struggling with a certain situation in their life. Our first response is to kind of judge them and say, "Oh man, I wonder, you know, what's that all about? Or I would never get caught up in that. I can't believe they're such and such is doing that." It doesn't matter whether they're dealing with some type of addiction in their life, or maybe marital problems, or maybe they're living in some kind of lifestyle that doesn't line up with God's word and what God created us to do. Maybe they've earned themselves a bad reputation in the community. Whatever their situation, Jesus tells us plain and clear here that it is not our place to place judgment on them. It is not our choice to be able to judge them. Now, before we go any further, Jesus is not telling us here that we can never speak against sin. He's not saying that. He's not saying that we should abandon the scriptures and that we should say, "Oh, we're not going to read that part. We're not going to preach about that because that might offend somebody." That's not what he's saying. He is talking about us individually in our heart. He's talking to the church as well, but he's talking to us individually to be careful not to judge and to criticize someone because of their sin. You see, we so often criticize others because it makes what? It makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves. Or we think maybe it makes us look better to other people if we criticize or judge other people. To point out somebody else's failures makes me look a little bit better. Criticism is one of those natural things in life that it's just in our sinful nature to do. Just like any other sin, just like any other part of our worldly sinful nature, criticism and judgment that we judge other people, it's just part of being in a fallen world and being in a broken body. Not only do we so often do this without realizing it, we usually would use it as our first line of defense when someone has done us wrong or when we feel like somebody has done us wrong. Somebody's done me wrong, so you know what? So I'm going to start picking apart their life and I'm going to start criticizing them and I'm going to start talking bad about them because they're worse than me. For whatever reason we find ourselves judging another person, Jesus said right there in verse 1, don't do it. So look at the last part of verse 1 into verse 2. Jesus says this. He says, do not judge others. And then he goes on, he says, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the same standard in which you will be judged. You see, not only does criticism hurt the person that you're criticizing, not only does that judgment that we pass on people and the way we treat people, not only does it hurt them, It's even worse for us if we're the ones judging and criticizing other people. Jesus says it right there. He says, you will be judged. And they will be judged for the very same thing. The people who judge others, that when I judge somebody else, I am going to be judged for the exact same things they are. The only thing that's different is this time, it's God who's placing the judgment and not man. So the point is this. The moment that I start judging someone else's sin and starting to categorize it, and I say, you know what? You know, at least I'm not as bad as that guy over there. At least I'm not as bad as that person. You know, he's really caught up in sin. The moment that I start doing that, or maybe that I choose to forget how desperate that I am for a Savior myself, we got it all wrong. Do you remember when we were going through Ephesians? If you remember back Ephesians chapter 4, we talked about that. How in the world am I supposed to believe and accept and I guess expect God and hope that God would forgive me if I'm not willing to give that same forgiveness to others? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. He goes on to say this, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And when we went through the book of James, we started a similar discussion. We talked about that. James chapter 2, verse 13 says this, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. See, that's just another great thing. If you have a checklist and you want to, you know, that little song, Count My Many Blessings. If you want to talk about how great God is and you ever want to create a list of how many things are awesome about God, here's another thing to add to the list. God and his law have no favorites. They share no favorite. It has no favoritism. There is equal judgment across the board. But we also have to understand there is also equal grace across the board. But just in case we don't understand, he expands on the topic in verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 3 and 4. Jesus goes on to say this. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? So how can you even think? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? What Jesus is telling us here, church, listen to this. Or what he's warning about here, warning us about is this. When we judge someone based on their sin, when we spend our time gossiping about somebody else in the community or in the church or whatever, when we spend time criticizing somebody else, when we rejoice and when we hear bad news of somebody else that they're going through something, maybe somebody, we may not even like them, and we say, oh man, I'm glad they're going through this. They deserve it. We actually reveal a serious problem in our heart. We reveal a serious problem in our life. Jesus is telling us here that we need to spend time that we are spending like gossiping, that criticizing and looking at other people's sin. And Jesus is saying, you need to focus on your sin. You ever had a tattletale? Has anybody ever been in school and dealt with a tattletale? Or maybe you got kids and one of them's always tattling on the other? Am I the only one? You got a couple? Okay. Maybe you are the tattletale. I don't know. This is for you. Nobody likes a tattletale. Not even the person, like not even the school teacher. It's annoying. They don't like it. Or you know, when our children come up and one of them wants to get the other one in trouble, we just say, stop tattling. You know what I mean? Go back and deal with it. You know what I mean? But don't bring that to us. They tattle because they want to make themselves look better. They're not worried about the problem. They're not worried about what the kid did or the other person did. They're trying to make themselves look better in front of the teacher or in front of their parents or whatever. This is what it's like when we're walking around and we're saying, hey, you got a little speck in your eye. You got a little speck in your eye. You need to clean this up in your life. You know, or whispering, you know, such and such, you really could do better. They did you hear what they're doing? Did you hear? Did you hear about the you know, I heard such and such and their wife split up or their husband split up. I heard that such and such, as they saw him drinking coming out of the liquor store the other day. Maybe they were making a rum cake. I like rum cake. We spend so much time going around trying to pick the speck out of somebody else's eye. And what we're doing is we're either ignoring our sin, we're either choosing to ignore it, or we've been so deceived by the devil to think that we are better than somebody else. Either way, we are wrong to judge others and to criticize other people. In fact, the Bible is perfectly clear that we're all messed up. I'm messed up. You're messed up. Everybody listening online, everybody that's driving by, we're all messed up. We all need a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. We're fooling ourselves. It goes on, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and this is just a few. Verse 20 says this, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Not a single person on earth. And I love Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. It asks this question. He says this, he says, who can say I have cleansed my heart? Who can say that I am pure and free from sin? See, how dare you, how dare me, criticize or judge someone else when I have my own sin, when I got a telephone pole hanging out of my eye right here? How dare me look at you and say, you need to clean your act up until I've dealt with my own sin in my life? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 says, instead of that, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. We have to turn back to the Lord. Have you ever known somebody who's always pointing out somebody else's sin? Have you ever been around somebody in the church? Maybe even a pastor? Or maybe they're always telling you that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, or you should be doing this, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. A preacher, you know, constantly pointing down from the pulpit, you know, screaming and yelling at you about how sinful you are. You need to do this. You need to stop doing this. They don't say we. They say you need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. This is what the religious leaders were doing in the day when Jesus wrote this, when Matthew wrote this and Jesus was preaching this. They were always pointing out the faults of other people to make themselves appear more holy and more righteous. Well, look how holy we are. We spend all these days in the temple and we do all these things and we follow all the laws of Moses and we never do this on Sunday. We never do this on this day, whatever else. We don't eat this certain kind of meat. Whether it's religious leaders in AD 70, around that time when Matthew wrote this gospel, or whether it's some kind of preacher today, or a Sunday school teacher or whatever, or just a Christian in the church. If there's somebody always picking apart other people, if there's somebody always preaching about a certain sin to you, guess what they're probably dealing with every day? Guess what sin they fall short in? They're most likely struggling in the same thing, and that's exactly what it reveals in us when we start judging other people. But instead of dealing with their own log in their eye, they point out your speck. They want to point out my speck in my eye instead of dealing with the telephone pole that's hanging out of theirs. When we don't practice what we preach to others, we become hypocrites. And that's exactly what Jesus said. And I love it. I can almost picture him shouting it. You hypocrites! And if you look, there's an exclamation point there. It said, hypocrite! Look at verse 5. He says, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Jesus is telling us that if we're really concerned with sin, if we're just so upset about all the sin in the world, if we're just so upset that we got to go around to somebody else and say, you need to clean your act up. You need to work on this. I've noticed you've been doing this. Now, we're going to talk about that when we get further into Matthew. Jesus talks about there is a time to hold our brothers and sisters accountable, but it's not in a judgmental way. And that's a whole other sermon, but I want you to understand that. There's nothing wrong with coming along in love and telling somebody, you know what, you're falling short, brother. I'm worried about you. You're going down the wrong road. I want to bring you back. But you don't go around whispering about them and you don't pass judgment on them. The point is this, we become hypocrites. We are to deal with our own sin in our life. We're to deal with that telephone pole. We're to deal with that log that's hanging out of our eye before we ever even think about dealing with anybody else's sin. If I'm really concerned and I'm really upset about all the sin in another person's life, I had better make sure that I'm upset, or I'm even more upset about the sin in my life. The things that I've said, you know what, God? I don't want to give that to you. I'm not ready to step away from that. That's what we really need to be concerned about. Now, we also must realize that we can become too wrapped up in ourselves. So we have to be careful. Although we may need to examine our own sin, Jesus tells us that, we also need to find that balance of checking ourselves and saying, okay, what is going on in my life that I need to let the Lord clean up? While we also have to stand in that grace and believe that Jesus Christ and His blood that ran down the cross covers it. Okay? So we examine the log in our eye so we can ask God to help us remove it. Not so we can sit there and let the devil beat up on us about it and say, you can't serve in the church because you did this. Or I know what you did in your past. Or, you know, sometimes the old devil likes to tell us, everybody sees that log hanging out of your eye. You can't do anything. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus wants that log out of your eye. He wants you to get rid of the sin in your life. Remember, the devil is an accuser. If you go to Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says the devil accuses us day and night. He doesn't take a rest. He's always there prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This is why we have to examine our own eye. Ask forgiveness and remove the log from your eye. Remove that sin from your life and say, God, help me to get over that. Help me to clean up my speech. Help me to clean up my mouth. Help me to quit looking at that. Help me to quit depending on that substance or whatever it is. Help me to quit thinking about that all the time. I don't want to think about that. I want to think about things that are pure and clean and holy. And we allow God to use us as a living example of what He can do with us and through us. Even though we're sinful, even though we fall short, we're supposed to go out and be the light of the world, not because of what we have done, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, it says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. I had a hard time figuring out where to fit this one in when you're breaking up the scriptures. Like, this doesn't seem to really fit in what we're talking about. And so when I was studying this week, God really, really opened up my eyes to what He was really talking about here. And I'm like, why did Matthew put that after judging others? So it seems that Jesus may be contradicting Himself here when He's like, you know, don't judge other people. And then He says, hey, you know, don't be throwing your pearls to pigs. You know, if they're unholy, don't mess with them. But that's not what He's saying. That's not what He's doing. Jesus is telling us here that once that we have judged ourselves, He just told us to remove the telephone pole out of our eye. Once we have judged ourselves and once we have been honest before God and we say, God, create in me a clean heart, just like King David said. Show me anything that offends you in my life. Once we do that and we remove that plank from our eye, once we begin to look at everyone else that's a sinner, we look at them through that same grace that God gives us, then and only then can we begin to use a little bit of judgment. But this type of judgment is a little bit different. Listen to me. Don't take away the wrong thing from this and don't put words in my mouth. Instead of us condemning others to make ourselves look better, Jesus is telling us to use good judgment. He's telling us, this is what we call discernment, okay? As God's people, we have to realize if you are saved, if you are born again, and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has trusted you with the most holy of holiness. Do you understand that? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the living Word of God at our fingertips, and we have the gospel, the saving power to save people from the grips of hell is the message that He entrusts us with. He saved us, and He commissioned us to take the gospel to the end of the earth, to take it to next door, to take it to the next country, to take it to the next county, wherever it is that we go. We are commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself to go to the ends of the earth. But what Jesus is telling us here is that we must use discernment and who we spend time sharing these things with. I know you're thinking like, what? I thought we were supposed to go to all nations. You just said that. I thought we were supposed to carry the gospel to everyone. This is true. But we have to realize that there are some people who are not going to want to hear it. There are some people who are not only not going to want to hear it, they're going to attack you when you go to share with them. There was a missionary just a few years ago who went, young man, he went to India. And there was a remote island somewhere off of the coast of India that was known for these really hostile natives. They have no connection with the outside world. They're known for being violent. And you don't come on that little plot of land that they have owned since the beginning of time, where their families and they've been there. They said, don't nobody come here. They didn't want anybody there. They worship idols and they sacrifice their children and all these other things. It's just crazy darkness. And this young missionary said, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to be the one that I'm going to reach him. And the boat captain even told him, said, man, it's not a good idea. All right, you can go read about it. Look it up on the internet. He said, go read it. He said, I wouldn't do this. He said, they're not very nice. And in fact, I think they took him a certain point, and he had to wade in the rest of the way. And he didn't even hardly make it to the shore until he was filled with arrows. They took his body and probably burned it up somewhere. Jesus showed us how some people are not going to listen to it. Some people, sometimes we can waste our time going to and spending our time with certain people. Does that mean that we don't try to reach somebody that we consider as unreachable? I'm not saying if God has laid it on your heart, and I'm not telling you that this young man was wrong. Maybe God laid it on his heart to do that because he wanted to expose that. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we have to really realize, we have to look at it and say, God, who am I supposed to reach this week? Put somebody in my path this week that you want me to share the gospel with. In Luke chapter 23, we see that Jesus himself refused to even answer Herod when he was trying to attack him. In Acts chapter 13, you'll see that the apostle Paul refused to argue with those who resisted the word. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus himself says this. He says, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet and leave. Jesus is telling us to know when to shake the dust and when to move on. We have to use that spiritual discernment. And we can't do that if we're not connected with God. He's not telling us to use our own mind and say, you know what? I don't think he's unholy. I'm not throwing pearls to that. I'm not, he's unreachable. I'm not going to mess with him or her or whatever. He's talking about spiritually being connected to him and saying, God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want to use me? When we were in Zimbabwe, the custom there and the culture there, when they would welcome you into their home, which 99% of all the people were very welcoming, they're very nice people, and they would welcome you in and they would just bow at your feet and they would lay out a mat for them to sit on, and they would give you their finest little log that they sat on or their little stool, and they were excited that you came all the way from America to share something with them. But the ones that didn't want to hear it, they would turn their back and they wouldn't even look at you. And the pastors warned us of this. They said, look, if you see somebody that turns their back, just don't, they just don't want to hear it. They're just showing their disrespect. They're saying, I don't want to hear this. I've got another belief. I don't want to hear it. And I remember we were sitting there with a believer at one of these little homesteads, and I was talking to this lady, and she kept almost making fun of me and just really trying to pick apart what I was trying to share with her, and just nothing we said we could ever convince her. And the pastor said, get your stuff and let's go. And I said, well, wait a minute. I think I'm making headway here. I don't want to give up. I came all the way across the ocean. I want to talk to this lady some more. And he said, and I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, there's many, many other lost souls that want to hear. And we only have so much time. Let's go. And I remember that this scripture came to my mind. It really came to life because it's dusty there. And I remember looking down and clicking my shoes together and saying, I'm shaking off the dust and I'm going somewhere else. Being a pastor here in America can be the same way. We can spend so much time, such and such got offended and they didn't come back to church. And I can spend my whole week chasing them down and trying to make them happy so they'll come back to church. And I can spend all my efforts and run around and making sure that everybody's happy and that I haven't offended anybody. Or I can focus on, God, who do you want me to preach the gospel to this week? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus is telling us. Now, I'm not telling you that if I ever offend you that I'm not ever going to apologize, okay? Because there's times I'm going to mess up. But I'm telling you, at a certain point, we have to realize we come to church to serve, not to be served. Amen? And so, if you want to get upset and you want to leave the church, that's your right. You can do that. We want you to stay. But don't get offended when we're not chasing you down like some kind of lost stray puppy that we're in love with. We love you. But guess what? We got stuff to do. We're supposed to be busy out reaching the people who've never heard the gospel, not chasing down people who want to be served in the church. So as we close, I want to tell you this. The bottom line is this. If you don't take anything else away, take this. Don't take the fact that we don't want you to come to church here. That's not what I'm saying. I will do everything I can do, and I love to when new people come to the church, and I hate when somebody leaves the church. It breaks my heart. But we can't get caught in that trap of being in a fishbowl and just saying we got to take care of all the people in the church, which we do take care of each other. But we can't get to the point where we're so focused on making everybody in the church happy that we forget that there's people dying and going to hell all around us. We have to know when to shake the dust off and keep moving. The bottom line is this. Jesus, God himself, wants us to be the light of the world. He wants us to shine. He wants to shine through us so bright He wants people to see that the light of Christ shining through you, shining through me every single day of the week, so bright that when a person sees you, they see a little taste of God's grace. When a person has slipped into sin, when a person has whatever sin they've fallen into, it's time for us to show compassion. It's time for us to come to them and say, you know what, I understand. What can we do to help you? It's time to speak kindly to them and not judge them, but show them the grace that God showed us. When somebody walks onto this property, they walk into that church building, whether it be into Bible study, whether it be into youth group, or whether it be into a worship service, whatever it is, they should simply feel loved. That's it. That's the first thing that they should feel is loved. Not anybody looking at them because of what they're wearing or what they're not wearing or what they have tattooed on them or whatever else. Or what their breath smells like, what they were doing the night before. They should feel loved. And they should hear the untainted truth from God's word. Amen? And if someone slips into sin, it's time to reach our hand out, and we're to be there to reach down into the pit and to help them out. But if they refuse to and they reject the truth, God expects us to know when to take those pearls and to throw them to somebody else who will actually take them and use them. Because we don't have us so many times. We are in the end days. Do we understand that? Do we see what's going on? We are to deal with our sin first. We're to help others deal with their sin and without judging them. And we're to know when to take our pearls. We're know when to shake the dust off our feet and to keep the purpose of the church moving forward. So as we close today, as we sing the last hymn, I'll ask Lisa if she'll come on up. And we're going to sing this last closing song. You have it in your bulletin there if you want a copy of the hymnal. I want us to spend this time thinking about what sin is in your life that you're refusing to give to God. What sin, what log is hanging out of your eye that's distracting you and it's keeping you from seeing clearly what God really wants for your life? Maybe that sin is actually you being judgmental towards other people. Maybe you feel convicted like, man, I need to do better at that or whatever. This is a time of invitation. This is a time for you to pray. You can pray right there. You can pray out loud. You can pray silently. God knows your heart, and He knows what you say. Or you can come forward. I would be glad to pray with you, whatever it is. If you want to receive the free gift of salvation this morning, pray to God, and He will forgive you this morning. It's that simple. But I would encourage you, if that's you today, to come forward and take that step of faith and say, I have decided to follow Jesus this morning. Whatever God has laid on your heart this morning, if you need prayer for whatever reason, doesn't even have to do anything with the message. This is a time of invitation. Come as we sing. Stand and let's close in song.